it's all too clear.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. We want to thank you for tuning into this program. We want to take a moment to invite you out this coming Sunday at Merritt Assembly of God. We have a missionary evangelist that is going to be with us. His name is Mark Perkey. He travels extensively. His brother, Mike Perkey, used to be on TBN quite a bit and pastored a great church up in Kansas City area. Mark has done the missionary evangelist thing. He travels internationally. Come to find out, we have a lot of our missionaries that would bring him over to preach to their congregations overseas. A number of friends that I've got have done that, and he still preaches to in a lot of churches where I know the pastors very well there. Our congregation has loved his ministry over the past couple of years, and we want to invite you out. We believe that you will love it as well. Sunday morning, 10:30, Sunday night at 6:30 are the times that we're going to be having those services. We would love to have you come out and be a part of us, part of what God is doing. We do have our seating configuration. If you look at our Facebook Live, you're going to look and say they have absolutely nobody in church. Because our cameras go straight up the center aisle there. It's a pretty much fixed camera position. I'm not a fixed immobile preacher, but so I move around a little bit. But we have our seating configured for maximum occupancy and keeping everybody at a safe distance. Now, if you come in with a family of 11, we can create seating for that. No problem whatsoever. If you come in as a single, we've got places for you. Couples, we've got places for you. Five, it doesn't matter. Our seating is kind of flexible in that we can adjust, overcome, and improvise as necessary. We would love to have you come and seek the face of the Lord with us. Our theme for this year is Thus Says the Lord. Thus Says the Lord. The Bible talks about that there would be a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. It never says that there was a famine of the word of the Lord. It says that people will go into a dry season of hearing what God says. But, you know, the book of Revelation says, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And so we want to be a church that is positioned to seek his face and to hear his voice. So come be a part of what is going to take place this coming Sunday morning. We do want to say thank you to JITS Concrete and to all of our businesses that we represent here on the Refresh Radio program. They help shoulder some of the burden of the programming expenses and things like that. This is not a money-making endeavor. It is a ministry. Ministry has costs and things like that. So we want to say thank you to the folks of JITS Concrete. If you need anybody to come and do block and concrete work for you, I encourage you to give them a call. They can be reached at 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. And they've got decades of experience. They have the expertise. You know, not all experience is good experience, but these people have great experience. They are experts in their field. They know the timing, the consistency, the tensile strength, all of that that goes into it. They have the connections. They know how to coordinate the scheduling. If you need something done, give them a call, 321-536-5804. And as I've talked to some of my construction friends, you need to be planning further and further out for whatever you want to have renovated in the days to come, because there is so much renovation that is going on. So we have been talking about Matthew 6:33, you know, all of the things that the Gentiles seek after. And then Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All of the things that the Gentiles think are priorities are actually additions that come into our life when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we've talked about so far that Jesus was an example to us, that he's constantly seeking. He seeks to save the lost. There was a lot of other things that we talked about. We also talked about that the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. We talked about other things. But Jesus, the Son of God, is seeking, and the Father is seeking. We have got a great example. We are mandated, we are commanded to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not a suggestion. It is something that he instructs us to do. I want you to also know that the devil is seeking. He goes about as a roaring lion. He's a roaring, lying lion. I just created that. He's a roaring, lying lion. Seeking whom he may devour. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched something that is being hunted, that there is a predator that is looking for this victim. Normally, they are looking for either the elderly and the frail, or the young and the vulnerable as their next meal. Generally, they don't like to tackle full-grown adults. It doesn't end up going well for them. But whenever that young victim is being pursued, one of the first things that they start doing is they start looking for a safe place where their parents are, or whether they're their herd is, wherever it might be, they start looking for where's the safe place while I am being hunted. Well, I don't know about you, but the devil's always been a liar. He's always been a thief. He's always been a murderer. And he's always looking for his next victim. That ought to motivate us to be seeking after God, because he is our deliverer. He is our fortress, our sanctuary, our refuge. He is our deliverer, our healer, our savior, and our coming king. So we ought to be looking for him and seeking for the things that God wants us to seek after in our lives. So today I want to begin we are looking at some aspects of seeking. This is going to take a while, so we're going to go through it. But the question that I want to start off with is, why some do not seek God? Why some do not seek God? Would you believe it when I tell you that the Word of God describes why some people don't seek God? You know, back in September of 2001, and when the attack on the Twin Towers came, the next week there were a lot of churches that were filled because people were feeling very vulnerable. 20 years later, we have a virus that is an unseen enemy that is running pretty much rampant throughout our society. You can't even see the attack, but yet you know that the virus is out there, and many times, in spite of your best precautions, sometimes it still finds you. I know people that wore masks, wore gloves, wore face shields, and still contracted the coronavirus. I know people who in multiple states who had it. I know people that it was a minimal effect. I know people that it was a severe effect. I've got relatives that that died with the coronavirus. They were already sick, some of them went into the hospital. They contracted the coronavirus while they were in the hospital, and when they sent them home, it was only a matter of days before they went on to be with Jesus. I don't know about you, but that threat of an invisible enemy that could bring you from vitality to eternity in a matter of a short period of time, and you can't see it. And you know, at the time when all of this started, the doctors didn't have the answers or anything like that. To me, that seems like a greater motivator when you're face to face with your mortality to be seeking God than some people who've hijacked some airplanes. And that's just me. I'm just talking. But yet when you look around, you do not see people seeking God with any sort of desperation or any sort of affection. We need that. Well, I might not be able to impact other people seeking God, but I can seek God myself. So let's look at some of the biblical reasons why some people do not seek God even during a season like this. So we're going to start in Psalm chapter 10, and I'm going to read the first 11 verses. Psalm 10 says this: "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages and the secret places. He murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see." So the first thing that I want to point out to you is that people who are wicked do not seek God. Now, I've had a number of people over the past few months. By the way, if you look for me on Facebook, you will see minimal activity that is on there. Mainly, I'm there to comment on happy birthday, happy anniversary, if somebody posts a prayer request or something like that. And I'm there because we live stream our services on Sunday morning. If we weren't live streaming on our services, I would not even have the app. If you contact me via Messenger, some of you do that, but I have deleted that app from my phone, and so you know, every time Facebook comes on, it shows me that there are messages there, but I don't have access to them at this point in time. A lot of people were sending me videos and things like that, and I don't watch those videos anyway. So I've had a number of people who don't know the Word of God, who over the past few months on Facebook would use that platform to, try and insult my intelligence, attack my relationship with God. And it's just like, you know what? We're not going to be able to get anywhere with this conversation. Because the wicked, people who do not have a right relationship with God, they think they know the Word of God better than believers. Okay, so we're going to look at this. You'll also see in this passage that that pride is one of the key ingredients there. We're going to talk about that in another passage because it has a greater explanation for us there. Here in Psalm 10, we want to look at the fact that wickedness, sin, our carnal nature, it will cause us to hide from God. It will cause us to run from God. But it even has the ability to deceive us that we are in a right relationship with God when we are not. God said, "You thought I was altogether like you, but my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. I'm nothing like you." And that gets to be a problem. So here is what Psalm 10 identifies as some of the behavior of a wicked person who is not seeking God. Instead of looking to bless the poor, they are looking to persecute the poor. That's one of the things that it says there in verse number 2. The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Jesus said, "The poor you always have with you. You can help them anytime you want. You don't even have to pray about helping the poor." If you feel led, now you want to help them, you want to minister to them in a way that is not going to strengthen their stronghold. You want to minister to them in a way that is going to bless them and deliver them. So this person, this wicked person, is a person who blesses, but he doesn't bless the poor. It talks about that he blesses the greedy. That is in verse number 3. He blesses the greedy. It goes on and he says that this wicked person not only is not seeking the Lord, but renounces the Lord. He says God is forgotten. He thinks that God is having a mental breakdown. That God is ashamed, that he hides his face, and that he will never see, that God is oblivious. And really, it's an insult to the nature and the character of an almighty, eternal, compassionate, all-loving God. God is not a decrepit old person that is sitting on the throne just trying to hold on a little longer. That is not what God is doing. You know, his truth is marching on. God's throne is a dynamic place. So this person lives life in such a way that his circumstances seem to indicate that there are no problems. He has plenty of health in his body. He has plenty of substance. And he has plenty of influence. If you go on and look through this, you will see that his enemies are not a threat to him. It goes on and it says in verse number 5, "As for all his enemies, he sneers at them." He sneers at them. He looks at them and said, you're no threat to me whatsoever. You know, there was another person that kind of sneered at a person that was engaging them in a battlefield. His name was Goliath. He was sneering at David. That didn't work out so well. You and I, we are to realize that we do have enemies. They are not people. They are the spirits behind this age, and it is a serious day and time in which we live. I encourage you to be seeking the face of God. Don't use the excuses. Well, you know, the wickedness of man is prevailing. You know, sin may endure for a moment, but I'm here to tell you that God in his holiness and in his power is going to prevail in the end. It says in verse number 6, he says, "I shall never be in adversity." You know, I have this strange attitude towards adversity, that adversity has a great ability to influence me in pressing me into God and seeing Him bring about the victory. I believe it is a bird. If it's not a bird, it's a caterpillar transforming into a butterfly. But when they are struggling to break free from their cocoon or their shell, that one of the things that enhances their ability to fly is the adversity of cracking open that shell. You would think, oh, look at how much it is struggling. I need to go and help that creature along. But in doing so, it actually causes a mutation in their development, and they don't become everything they were supposed to be. Some of the greatest characteristics that I have in my life were forged in the furnace of adversity. You know, you and I, we've got to look at the things that are problems as light and momentary afflictions that are working for us in eternal glory. This person never faces adversity. As for their mouth, it says in verse number 7 that his mouth is used as a tool for cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. You know, your mouth, my mouth, is a reflection of what is going on in abundance of our heart. Okay? I saw an illustration somewhere over the past few months said, if I am going up a set of stairs and you are coming down the stairs and you bump my elbow, and as a result of that bump, I spill the tea out of my coffee cup, I want you to know you did not cause me to spill the tea. And so then all of a sudden it caused me, it got my attention. It said the only reason that I could spill tea out of my cup whenever you and I had a moment was because I had put tea in my cup beforehand. That those adverse moments that we come together, it causes us to spill out what is abundance. So the wicked, instead of having truth, they have deceit. They have cursing instead of blessing. They have lying instead of truth. And they're more about oppressing than they are helping. And that's a problem. Their life, they are content with a lifestyle that is contradictory to the life that God wants us to lead. They are looking at society as victims. And in fact, the next point here that you see in this description of a wicked person that does not seek God is he sits in the lurking places of the villages and the secret places. He murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws them in his net. It goes on, verse number 10. So he crouches, he lies low so that the helpless may fall by his strength. So this wicked person that has no desire to seek God is looking for his next victim. He victimizes the helpless. He victimizes the helpless. All of those things are horrible social manifestations. Okay? When you are doing those things, you are not seeking God. You're not. It's a very self-driven lifestyle instead of a servant-driven lifestyle. And the last thing that, I would say to you here is that this wicked person doesn't seek God because they have false assumptions about God. There's a saying that I saw a long time ago, and I've read it a number of times, and it says this: if someone is considers you a fool, don't open your mouth and give them the proof that they need to remove any doubt. These people that are being talked about here, their assumptions about God, that they don't think about Him. It says there in verse number 4, God is in none of His thoughts. God's in none of His thoughts. They just don't think about God. They don't think about the fact that He created them. They rationalize that away. They don't think that they are intentional. They think that they're accidental because they don't know the Word of God. They don't know that there is a forever that has only two different manifestations. One is an eternity with Jesus, and one is an eternity without Jesus. They don't think about that. They think that God is someone that is far off, that He's too ashamed of the way that the world is going to even pay attention. And I want you to know, if that was the case, God never would have sent His Son. If that was the case, Jesus never would have come and died on the cross. The good news is that God has ability to transform wicked people into holy people because of the blood of Jesus. Today, I want to encourage you, don't let the devil deceive you with a lifestyle that says you don't need to seek God. Let the pastor seek God. You don't need to seek God. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You and I, we need to be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Ask yourself, maybe at the end of the day today, how much did I think about God today? Did I think about God when I was dealing with that contract? Did I think about God when I got up this morning? Did I think about Him throughout the day? You're obviously thinking about Him right now, or you wouldn't be listening to this program. Let's not allow wickedness to steal God from our thoughts. Let God renew our minds so that we can prove the acceptable, perfect will of God. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.